A lesson tonight is out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, righteous versus unrighteous almsgiving. Christ's great Sermon on the Mount provided valuable insight on God's true righteousness. What Israel's religious leaders greatly lacked is seen in their dead traditionalism. To illustrate the contrast between the righteous practices of the Pharisees with truly righteous practices, the unrighteous practices of the Pharisees, the truly righteous practices, Jesus gave six illustrations. The first illustration regarding the issue of almsgiving in Matthew chapter 6, 1 to 4. So we study the passage for our insight, our application, and edification as follows. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Matthew 6, 1 to 4. Jesus is speaking, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Truly I say unto you, they already have their reward. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly." Almsgiving was a practice under the rule of the Mosaic law, and it had been perverted by the Pharisees. In Matthew 5, 7, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had pronounced a blessing on those who were merciful or sympathetic, the Greek word is eleemon, to others in material need. Accordingly, the giving of alms to the impoverished was designed to be a display of mercy, making it possible for the giver to demonstrate the love of God by meeting the need. However, the Pharisees had perverted the showing of mercy by using it to demonstrate their piety, to impress people with their liberality. This is so prevalent that beggars sought to station themselves at the approaches to the temple so that they might receive alms from the Pharisees as they entered. See, the Pharisees liked to be seen going into the temple. The beggars figured this out, so they'd station themselves right by the temple. So the Pharisees, if they wanted to show off the liberality, here, show it me. And so there was this relationship between the Pharisees and the beggars that were there. It's interesting. Well, Jesus directed his hearers to purify the practice of almsgiving from the sin of self-centered pride, that the godly characteristic of sympathetic mercy might truly be held in the practice. Jesus warned that the donor should not advertise his giving in front of other people to be seen of others, with the intent of feeding his pride by advertising his generosity before onlookers, for such a motive was not rewarded by God in heaven. God never intended almsgiving or giving to meet the needs of others as a means of elevating one's pride. Just the opposite. God wanted the giver to be focused on the need of the person who received the gift. And because of that, they were concerned about the welfare of the recipient of the gift. And that's what their whole goal should be. Not how much I was giving, but how much I could do to help that dear person. That's the true love that God was looking for. So, for this reason, they were not to donate to the poor by sounding a trumpet before them like the hypocrites, the Pharisees did, in the synagogues and the streets to receive the praise of the onlookers, for the reward was merely the praise of onlookers without any reward from God. The Pharisees were great like this. They would often take their money if they had to give, like in the giving in the temple, and they had these funnels, brass funnels that came up from the coffers there. And they would convert their money into the smallest coins possible so they'd have this huge amount of coins. And they'd come along and pour this thing down. And they would pour it slowly enough so everybody could hear this for a long time. All that money that's going into there. And it would just make them feel great. And of course, the poor priests had to convert this all back to regular money. But there are all sorts of little tiny coins that were used. So the whole thing was a racket. It really was. Well, rather one was to give to the needy, was to give figuratively, not even letting his left hand know what his right hand did in giving, meaning that donated should be so secret that the giver readily forgets what he gave. So such truly righteous giving was seen by God the Father in heaven in secret, and he himself would openly reward such a donor. And that's an interesting promise there. God openly rewards those who give privately. However, giving in the early church was also initially perverted, and God severely punished it. I'm looking at Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the case of Ananias and Sapphira. A believer named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and keeping back part of the proceeds, they brought the rest of the money to the apostles while pretending to give it all. But a man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now this act followed a significant donation, series of donations by other believers, especially that of Barnabas, a Levite from Cyprus, who sold property on Cyprus and brought its proceeds to the apostles and laid it at their feet. This goes back to Acts chapter 4, verses 37 to 34, 34 to 37. Keep in mind there are no chapter breaks in the New Testament. So what's going on here with Ananias and Sapphira follows this. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. A distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement or consolation, he was a Levite and son of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what's interesting and what's so fascinating about this particular gift was that Barnabas was a Levite. A Levite had to live off of the tithes of Israel, being directed by the law to have no land inheritance by which he could do business for his income. That's Numbers 18 to 20 to 24. So for Barnabas to have acquired property had come at great financial frugality on his part. It was very unusual for a Levite to be able to own property outside of what had been given him in the cities there in Israel. So this is an unusual gift. So this man to sell that property and give it is kind of like a pastor selling everything that he had in his individual retirement account and giving it to the Lord. I don't recommend that, but you know, it would be kind of a big deal. And that's what happened in this case. So the sale of that property and his gift of the proceeds to the apostles was an act of great liberality, and everyone readily acknowledged it. Well, this got a hold of Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to impress their fellow believers by doing what other landowners and Barnabas had done. So they pretended to give all of the sale of their land while only actually giving part of it. Now, what's important to keep in mind here is that Peter brings out the issue when he's correcting them for us. He says in verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? In other words, you didn't have to sell it. And after it was sold, was it not in your own possession? In other words, you could have kept it even if you sold the property, or you could have given part of it. The problem with Ananias and Sapphira is that they lied about it. They pretended to give everything when they were actually giving some. And their pretension was an effort to lie and lie against the Holy Spirit in order to get fame. That's what they're looking for. So as a result of this, after Peter confronted Ananias, verse 5, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And of course, later they questioned his wife Sapphira, and she also lied, and so she was put to death by the Lord as well. So for lying to the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira were put to death by the Lord. They could have refrained from selling the property. They could have held back part of the proceeds. But instead, they lied about what they had given to impress others, and God severely disciplined them for it. Incidentally, this has been used by the Roman Catholic Church, and it's actually been used by Marxists to say that this is why Christianity taught that you should sell your proceeds and give them to the poor. But Peter is very careful about that. He says, no, you didn't have to sell your property, number one. And after you'd sold it, you still didn't have to give the proceeds. It's the lying that he's after. It's not giving everything. So that there's no way that this is teaching communism. And Peter wasn't doing that at all. So that's not true. So the lesson is Christ directed that the righteous showing of mercy is in our donations requires that we purge our motives and actions of giving with selfishness, that we might truly express compassion on the recipients in our donations. We need to purge our motives and actions of giving with selfishness, that we might be selfless. So the application is, may we show truly selfless compassion to the needy in our giving to meet their needs. It's interesting, when I prepared this message, I prepared it, and it's on almsgiving. And almsgiving focuses on giving money. But there's a lot of other ways that we can give. We can give of ourselves. I've heard that amongst Hollywood actors, what means so much to them is not a gift of money from other people, because a lot of them are millionaires and whatnot. What means a lot to an actor or an actress is when somebody makes something with their own hands and makes a handmade project and gives that to them, because they're giving part of themselves. It's interesting today, after the service, I was talking with two different people, two completely different families. One was a man, one was a woman. And in both situations, they expressed to me how important the body here, Nipog Church body, is to them in their lives. In many ways, in fact, both of them, it's interesting, because both were facing different types of situations in their backgrounds. Both of them stated that they're facing various trials or various issues, either in the business world or family world and everything, that is affecting them. And they stated that coming to the church today specifically met a special need, because it's comforting to get together with others of like faith. And I thought, you know, this morning when we came in, I knew this is fair day. I knew not only are the Slates, and this is their family, they've been in this tradition for many years, they have to go to this situation, but often they'll use people within the church to help with. I mean, my own daughter was doing judging yesterday, or Friday, I think it was, and so forth. So I knew that the attendance would be a little down. But it's interesting, even though it was a little down today, the meeting that we had together was very important to the people who were involved. And it just revealed to me how important it is to meet in fellowship with the church, not only for what we can get out of it, but for what we can give. Because every person in this church has a spiritual gift that is needed by other people. In fact, I told one of the people today, I said, you know what, as a pastor, even though I'm doing a lot of the teaching around here and preaching that kind of stuff, I'm kind of a front man, I am blessed by people in the church because of the interactions I have with people in the church when I come. I need to be here myself because of the needs that I have for the ministries that other people have towards me. I mean, we've got all sorts of gifts. We have showing mercy. We've got people who are administrators, people who are helps all over the place. Some of these are men, some of these are women, but they're believers, and they have these tremendous gifts. So I'm thinking here, you know, we should also show selfless compassion to the needy in our congregation. You know, everyone in the congregation is a needy person in some way. And the way to do that is to show up in the church so that we can minister to them. It's so important. Whether the group is large and or like Sunday, whether it might be a little down because of various things, sometimes when it's a little down is when the need's greater. And so it's very important for us. I'll never forget one time it was a Mother's Day. We used to cancel Mother's Day Sunday evening services because, you know, a lot of people are with mothers and they don't bother coming to church. So I just decided to stay home. Well, Lucy Kassir and her daughter showed up that day that we stayed away. And afterwards, I found out from Lucy and Marge that they had been here. They might have waited 20 minutes or a half hour, I forget what it was. But we didn't have a service, and I felt so bad. So I said, that was early in our ministry. I said, no matter what happened, I don't care if nobody shows up, we're going to have Sunday night service. Because you never know when someone's going to need it, and they're going to need that fellowship. And I felt really bad. I am very apologetic to Marge and her daughter. But it was a lesson that the Lord taught me, how important it is to be there. And like I said, often sometimes the Sunday nights, that's when the people really need help and encouragement. But we always need to minister. And sometimes it's giving of gifts, financial gifts. Yep, Sometimes it's the giving of ourselves and the use of our spiritual gifts. Sometimes it's just a friendly note. Sometimes it's a call. There are all sorts of emails. There are all sorts of ways that we can be giving to meet the needs of people. But God wants us to focus on the person that has the need and what we can do to help them.